Hey guys, welcome to the Orthodox Christian Podcast. And we had a question come in through the forum that I wanted to address concerning heaven and hell and the nature of judgment and life after death. So really easy topics, of course. And before I get into that, just one disclaimer, I'm not a priest in the Orthodox Church. If you're looking to learn more about these sorts of questions, I'm definitely always happy to answer questions, but I do recommend getting in touch with one of the local Orthodox priests in your area, just if you are looking for more clarity on some of these subjects. They are an excellent resource to connect with. So Sean wrote in and said, "Hello, I'd like to know what is the official Orthodox Church's position on the nature of the torments of hell, both before and after the final judgment. There is certainly a difference between hell, where the souls of sinners are kept before the final judgment, and the lake of fire, or Gehenna, where the wicked, whose names were not found in the book of life, will be thrown after the final judgment. In both of those hells, the temporary and permanent, are these literal, physical places where sinners will be kept for eternity, suffering physical pain caused by fire and from demons who will be torturing them with pitchforks or by other means? Or are both of these hells, or do both of these hells represent a state of the soul in one's heart rather than an actual place, and most of the torment would be caused directly by the sinners themselves suffering from the lack of God's love and realization that they have sinned against love and all of goodness, while the physical images used in the Bible about hellish torments are just ways to describe these realities, because there is no other way for mankind to comprehend something that is outside of the earthly plane of existence. Thank you." Well, thank you, Sean, for the question, and I will do my best to answer it. So I'll just kind of go line by line or section by section. So at the start, you say, what's the official, or you ask, what is the official Orthodox Church's position on the nature of the torments of hell, both before and after the final judgment? So Orthodoxy, so I should preface by saying I did a little bit of extra research for this question, just because I wanted to make sure that I was responding in an accurate manner, or as accurate as I could cobble together. And I looked at Thomas Hopko's Systematic Theology or Orthodox Faith books on the OCA website, and just took a few sections about the judgment or life and death and that kind of thing. And then I also looked through the Orthodox funeral service. So I looked on the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese digital chant stand. So that's a great resource. If you don't know about it, it's really helpful if you're wanting to pray like Matins or Vespers at home, so you've got the actual text that would be said in church. But they've also got the different services. So I just looked through the funeral service on there and checked out what Dr. Ladasur had to say on this topic, as well as Father Josiah Trenum had something on it. So I tried to cast a pretty wide net and just make sure that I was in line. But essentially, in terms of the official Orthodox position, this is sort of a nebulous topic in many respects. And there is the creed, the Nicene Creed, that Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. So we do believe that at a point in the future, Christ will return to judge the living and the dead. And then there are scriptures about this. But in terms of the state of the soul before the final judgment, there's not a lot written about that. And so to me, this seems like one of those hidden things that, for instance, in scripture, if you read the Old Testament, God is the one who is the most hidden. And then there are hidden things that God knows that we do not necessarily know as humans. So God knows the future, which is a hidden thing. He knows human hearts. We're not transparent to ourselves. And those are a hidden thing to us many times. The nature of suffering is a hidden thing. So God appears to Job and says, like, he gives all these mysteries, essentially. Do you know about this thing in nature, this thing in nature, like how the animals reproduce, or how these signs in heaven appear, or where the wind comes from, or the snow, and et cetera, et cetera. And the point of that dialogue is to say that humans only have a limited view on life, and God is the one who is extremely hidden and actually knows all the hidden things. And occasionally God will reveal these hidden things to us, and our role as people is not to know all the hidden things, but to be open to God. And so our choice is like, are we open or are we closed to God? And I'll try to tie that in at the end. But I think that in terms of the state of someone's soul after they die, Orthodoxy generally believes that they go to a place of rest, like the soul and the body are separated, and the person is hopefully in a state of rest. That's what we pray for in the funeral service, but we don't have really strong beliefs about exactly what this experience is like. We do believe, however, that Christ will come to judge the living and the dead, and people will be judged according to their works. And so I hope that's helpful as sort of the initial response. Let's just keep going though. There is certainly a difference between hell, where the souls of the sinners are kept before the final judgment, and the lake of fire, or Gehenna, where the wicked, whose names were not found in the book of life, will be thrown after the final judgment. So to a certain degree, I would say yes, in the sense that hell can be thought of as just the abode of the dead, or you could think of it in terms of Sheol in Hebrew, like that's what people go to when they die, and it's sort of the fate of all people, that they go to this place of the dead. And again, there's more of a question mark about that place or state in Orthodoxy. It seems like it's one of these hidden things that we don't know a ton about. And then there is a final judgment where Christ will return, that we do have more that's being revealed to us that we can speak about. So I would say, yes, there is a difference, but I wouldn't necessarily be super strong on this notion that people who have died and are not in communion with God are immediately in a state of suffering. Like perhaps, I'm not sure. I just know that in the Orthodox funeral services, we pray that for those who have died, that God would grant them rest, and that we look forward to the resurrection of the living and the dead. So then the last part of this question, in both of those hells, the temporary and permanent, are these literal physical places where the sinners will be kept for eternity, suffering physical pain caused by fire and from demons who will be torturing them with pitchforks or by other means, or are these hells represent a state of the soul? So I won't read the entire last part, but I definitely say it's the second of those. So scripture and tradition will communicate to us a metaphor, because metaphor is something that we can easily understand, and there's a lot of things in scripture that it's stooping to our level. So it'll describe God as having hands or eyes, and it will personify God. It will cast him in a human image, because that is more intelligible for us. We operate with other humans, and so it's helpful for us to conceptualize God as a human, even though God isn't a human. He doesn't have need a be careful there, because obviously Jesus Christ is a human and he's fully God and fully divine. But the Son of God, as the second person of the Trinity, became a human at a certain point in time. And God in himself does not have eyes and hands and these sorts of things. The Father certainly doesn't. The Spirit certainly doesn't. And these are ways for us to understand what God is doing. And so in a similar fashion, the descriptions of heaven or the descriptions of hell, these are metaphors that are used to help us to understand. And yes, this would be the state of the soul that someone has prepared over their lives. And so if we are tending towards virtue in our life, that will be revealed at the final judgment. If we are tending towards vice and non-existence, that will be revealed at the final judgment. And I think maybe a helpful way to consider this is some sort of test. So if you've ever experienced a test, either at school or in other parts of life, like there are tests that are more official in the sense that a teacher says, hey, a test is going to be coming. There's other tests where there's just difficult circumstances that emerge in life that reveal who we are. And if we've been preparing ourselves in a particular way, we're able to pass the test and it shows who we are. If we haven't, then we aren't able to pass the test, and that also shows who we are. So I think one way to consider the final judgment is a test that reveals who we are. And if we have been living in a way that is open to God and aligned with God, that aspect will be revealed to us. And if not, if we've been tending towards disintegration, that will be revealed. And so in terms of the suffering itself, this is something that is not caused directly by God, because God is life. And when we stray from God, we experience disintegration. So if you consider it in terms of that test imagery, the test that's administered, so say, to make it more concrete, if you're at school and you go through some sort of test, if you don't study beforehand and then you're faced with this test, you might experience suffering. Is that the fault of the test? Is the test actually doing that to you? No, it's because you have not prepared yourself adequately, and it is revealing that inadequacy of your works, essentially. Whereas if you do prepare, the test isn't this onerous thing. It might be actually a joyful thing to experience the test. And so the one revelation of God, or the encounter with God, is similar in the sense that it can be fire to us in a pleasant sense, as something that, you know, it's like the light that allows us to see. It can be fire in terms of a conflagration. It can be water in the sense of something that is nourishing to us. It can be water in the sense of a flood that wipes things out. And this has more to do with our state, whether we are open or closed to God, rather than God, because God is life itself. And so I think when we consider hell, it's, and I think especially if someone is critiquing Christianity and maybe coming at it from more of an atheistic perspective, they will take the images of hell very literally. They will think that God is very, very vindictive. And I don't think that that's a helpful way to go about it. I think that throughout the Orthodox tradition, these images are very metaphorical, and the response or the state we'll be in has more to do with how we have prepared ourselves, rather than, you know, God having this arbitrary checklist of things. So if we are trying to follow God and trying to be obedient to him and cooperating with his grace, I think we are preparing ourselves well. And if we aren't, then we are setting ourselves in a bad trajectory. And that's the only other thing I want to say, is that heaven and hell are states that exist now. They're not just things in the future. And how we are aiming our lives through our actions affects where we end up. And so you get what you aim at, you reap what you sow. And if we're able to aim at God now, the hope is that we will experience his grace. But if we tend towards disintegration and death, if we adopt habits and ways of being a human being that are destructive to us and to those around us, then this is hell, because we are experiencing disintegration, both with the people around us, but also within ourselves. We're not becoming who we are meant to be. And so we can see examples of hell all around us. And the future hell is just an extension of this. So I would say that heaven and hell, these are like continuums that we're participating in at all times. It's not like at some point in the future, that's hell, or at some point in the future, that's heaven. It's right now. It continues into the future. How we live is how we will experience these things. It is not God being vindictive or wrathful. And in terms of what the experience is like right after we die, it's a bit of a hidden thing. We don't really know, but we do trust that Christ will come to judge the living and the dead. And we hope by faith that we have cooperated with him in this life. And that's why we pray for those who have passed away, that God would have mercy on them and save them. So I hope that's helpful. And if you have further questions about this, I'm definitely more than happy to answer them. And again, if you know a local priest in the area, always a great idea to get a coffee, because then you can go back and forth and just hash these things out really well. And if you enjoyed this video, please pass it along to a friend or family. And there is a question form in the video description. So if you have another question about this, if someone watching has a question, just check that out. And I hope that you have a peaceful week. Take care.